It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
2020 has kicked off. We got a year and a half to go, but it certainly was not disappointing last night. A lot of these candidates just introducing themselves to the country, from Tim Ryan to John Delaney, Tulsi Gabbard. People don't know them, but Elizabeth Warren, they know. She was front and center, and she stood out in a big way. What really dominated the night, though, guys, was the issue of health care and wealth inequality. Take a little listen to what they had to say from a far-left progressive standpoint on the case on the issue of health care. Listen.
I'm with Bernie on Medicare for all. I spent a big chunk of my life studying why families go broke. And one of the number one reasons is the cost of health care.
Why are you defending private insurance savings? I think we should be the party that keeps what's working and fixes what's broken.
Now, the moment that really stood out was the hand-raising question. In this case, it was who's willing to abolish private insurance. Warren and de Blasio were the only ones that raised their hands. Now, it was a fight for time amongst all these candidates. It was pretty evenly broken up, if you look at it. But when it comes to talking about President Trump and replacing him, it was about 19 minutes and 24 seconds by our account. President Trump, by the way, on his way to Japan, certainly watching, tweeting just this, saying, boring. Well, I think probably, though, the moment that stood out the most, Brian, you alluded to it, is on a question over taxes. Beto O'Rourke, for reasons unexplained, broke into Spanish. He was then later followed by Cory Booker and Julian Castro. Take a listen.
Necesitamos incluir cada persona en el éxito de esta economía.
La situación ahora es inaceptable.
Estoy postulando por presidente de los Estados Unidos.
By the way, Julian Castro, the only Hispanic on this stage, admittedly says that he's not terribly fluent in Spanish. Let me just give you a quick look, because obviously tonight we have Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders. If you just look over my left shoulder, you can see two Biden supporters already here along the fence line getting ready. No indication, by the way, whether Biden, Sanders, or any of the other 10 coming on the stage tonight will dust off their Spanish.
Okay, that was Griff Jenkins this morning on Fox and Friends talking about the debate last night. Let me just give you a few thoughts on what I observed. I thought, actually, it went very well. I'll just tell you, I think it was a very nice setting. I thought the stage looked great. I thought the candidates looked, they made them look like serious candidates. I could argue that the things they're proposing are so ridiculous, but they made them seem not so ridiculous. The audience was well-behaved. I thought the moderators, who started out to be Lester Holt and Jose Diaz-Balart from Telemundo and Savannah Guthrie, did a very professional job. I thought they did an excellent job. And so, and I thought we learned a lot. So that's really what I think. I think, of course, they, truthfully, NBC gave the candidates who are extremely ridiculously far left the aura of normalcy, and that's exactly what was taking place. Now I'll make my point. What they offered last night was free everything: free college, free health care, free abortion for any reason, everything free. So de Blasio actually went on record. Others were asked. I think Beto O'Rourke was asked repeatedly if he was for a 70% tax rate on rich Americans or corporate America. And he wouldn't say, but de Blasio said, yes, 70%. Why are we apologizing? Julian Castro, who is so liberal, who is for open borders, made a statement about abortion, all of them did, about how they're cheerleaders for abortion, no question about it. But I thought Castro made the most outrageous statement. This is clip 4. Let's listen.
All of you on stage support a woman's right to an abortion. You all support some version of a government health care option. Would your plan cover abortion, Mr. Secretary?
Yes, it would. I don't believe only in reproductive
freedom. I believe in reproductive justice. And, you know, what that means is that just because a woman, or let's also not forget someone in the trans community, a trans female, is poor, doesn't mean they shouldn't have the right to exercise that right to choose. And so I absolutely would cover the right to have an abortion. More than that, everybody in this crowd and watching at home knows that in our country today, a person's right to choose is under assault in places like Missouri, in Alabama, in Georgia. I would appoint judges to the federal bench that understand the precedent of Roe v. Wade and will respect it. And in addition to that, make sure that we fight hard as we transition our healthcare system to one where everybody can get and exercise that right.
Wouldn't that be great? Just everybody could abort their children. And no, even at all 9 months, wouldn't that be great? And that how convenient. And then we could be a lot like, you know, Europe, where nobody's having babies and we can't populate our country. We're kind of there already. But honestly, that's the practical effect of that, besides the fact that it's murder. It's just amazing, but it's all done in very, you know, very solid professional terms. And so we sort of think, wow, this is normal, but it really isn't normal what Castro just said. Governor Inslee of Washington really is one of the most radical people on that stage. Washington State, of course, is, and Governor Inslee is, now I understand a little bit more why. He is really a radical of the radicals. He said last night he did demonstrate very, very clearly how much of a cheerleader he is for SEIU, which is the most radical, thug-like union, I would argue, that we have. I mean, they're the ones that went out and beat people up at the Republican convention. The SEIU is based in, a lot of them are based in Chicago. They are thugs to the max. Yeah, they just are. And I'm not saying every person that belongs to it are. I'm talking about the leadership and the people in position of authority. And they hire street thugs. I mean, remember those undercover videos about how the Democrats were going to hire thugs, basically, to go out and threaten people at these demonstrations and rallies. And it was SEIU people they were hiring. They're the ones in the purple shirts. But Governor Inslee is a cheerleader, and now we understand why Washington State is in such trouble. And that reminds me of some comments I got on Facebook to that article, the YouTube video. It's actually on YouTube. It's not a YouTube video. It's a video made by a news organization in Seattle called Seattle is Dying. We posted it on our Facebook page. And really, it really is exhibit A of what happens when leftist policies are implemented. It all sounds great until you actually see what it does. We'll put that video back up on our Facebook page so that you can be reminded. But Diane says, with so many major cities becoming this, the Democrats are running on climate change, gun control, and abortion. They only care about their agenda. It's so sad. Linda says, this is so horrible to watch. Rich elites do not care one bit. I cannot fathom why they want to kill America. Joel says, leftist utopia. They want to bring this to all American towns and cities in the name of diversity. And that's what you're saying about that video, and I think you're right, and that's what Inslee and others on that stage are advocating. Elizabeth Warren is very convincing. She's very passionate. She is. She's got the personality to gin people up. Now, she may not be telling you the truth, but she can certainly gin you up. She made a lot of sense to me, and I can understand why this appeals to some people about breaking up big corporations. She's the one advocating for breaking up Google, because it is true that corporations are forming monopolies that are not good. And I think some of this has happened under Republicans who will defend. Look, this, you've got to find the right balance. I am not against big corporations or big companies. I'm not. I'm against it when they start to wield so much power that there's no choice and that they are using their power to hurt people and not help them. But who's to decide that? Who's to make that judgment? So that's the rub here. But Elizabeth wants to break up these big companies, including Google. That appealed to me, that for sure. And it's very un-Republican of me, but I do, that does appeal to me. It was interesting that they struck some Trump things. They talked about bringing manufacturing back home and jobs, you know, and stopping companies from going to other countries. That sounds a lot like Donald Trump to me and a lot like many of us who felt that way for a long time. But the jobs they're talking about were always green. They were windmills. They were electric cars. That's what they talk about. But we know that that's silliness. We know electric cars are like after being out for how many years and after President Obama pumping them up with millions of our tax dollars are only 1.2% of car sales. People don't like electric cars. They're not useful. And if we all had them, we don't even have the grid to support them. So it's really foolish talk, but we're hearing it. And it sounds so legitimate. Immigration is a serious problem. And so they spent quite a bit of time talking about that. Let's listen to this montage. It's clip two.
On day one, I will make sure that, number one, we end the ICE policies and the customs and border policies that are violating the human rights. When people come to this country, they do not leave their human rights at the border.
For all the American citizens out there who feel you're falling behind, who feel the American dream's not working for you, the immigrants didn't do that to you.
We would not build walls. We would not put kids in cages.
Immigrants, they do not diminish America. They are America.
What kind of country are we running here? We've got to tell this president that is not a sign of strength, Mr. President. That is a sign of weakness.
When somebody comes across the border, not to criminalize desperation, to treat that as a civil violation.
Yeah, so you get the drift of it. They want open borders. They're very concerned about the children, which is very, of course we are. But this is what the Democrats have been using for decades, ever since I can remember, for the children at Hillary Clinton. It takes a village. Well, it does, but not the way she means it. It's the children. It's just pathetic. And Tim Ryan said, kids are laying in their own snot with diapers that need to be changed. Look, no, if that's true, nobody wants that to happen. Nobody wants a father and his daughter to drown trying to get into the country. Nobody wants that to happen, but nobody on that stage mentions the number of Americans that are suffering because of the out-of-control invasion at our border. I'll bring to you just one story that I didn't really get into yesterday. A refugee who is not an illegal immigrant, but he came into this country, he's got a green card. He has killed five U.S. Marine veterans and their spouses by his drunk driving. He has a long record. He kept being released. I think he's from the Eastern Bloc. I don't know if it's Soviet Union, someplace like that, Ukraine. And so charged with 7 counts of negligent homicide, but he has a very long dossier of arrests, and he just keeps getting away with it. And so, you know, nobody cares about the immigrants coming to this country without kind of care taken, without any kind of restrictions. Nobody cares about the deaths of people like Kate Steinle. Nobody talks about that. It's all about these children. The children of illegal immigrants, nobody talks about the fact that those parents, the ones that actually are accompanying these children, not the fake parents, because we know that they're bringing fake parents are bringing fake children across the border just to get in, and parents are taking money to give their children to cartels. They don't talk about that either. And so the child abuse, really, I think, can be set at the feet of parents who put their children in that position, who sell their children, cartels who use them. I mean, it's really disgraceful, but nobody on that stage talked about that. It's just amazing. And so, but I want to give you a good, let me ask this question before I go to this. I wondered, you know, when they talked last night, it was obvious to me that they're speaking to a whole segment of America that it's as though if you listen to them, people are so miserably treated. People are suffering. People are not making a living. People can't get health care. People, and I do know that that's true on some level. We've been talking, my husband and I were talking to a waitress just a couple of days ago, and she talked about how she can't make ends meet. She's working two jobs, and it was very sad to hear her talking about that. So there are people that are living, having trouble making a living. That's true. But I'm wondering, do you think it's resonating? I mean, am I so out of touch personally that I don't recognize that America is suffering under this current economy or under this current president? Really suffering. Not that they don't like him or they don't like his language, his tone, but that are people really suffering? And is this resonating, you think? We're going to open the phone lines in just a second, but I have more things to say before that, but I'll go ahead and give the number. 888-589-8840 is the number. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
Putting life in perspective with Harry Reeder.
You know, one of the great things that we know is there's one God who dwells in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father loved you so much, He gave His Son. That's unfathomable to me. And His Son went to the cross and died for our sins. And now He has given you the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes and brings you from sin and death into life, brings you to Christ, and Christ brings you to His Father. Now remember, God the Father is your Father. He's not your grandfather. Grandfathers, let's have fun. Everybody had a good time. It's the end of the day. No, God is a father. He will nurture you. He will love you. He will discipline you. He will grow you because He loves you.
In Perspective with Harry Reeder, an outreach of Briarwood Presbyterian Church, Birmingham, Alabama. For additional Christian resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app. Available at the App Store, Google Play, Amazon, and the Windows Store.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Randy Reeves, Undersecretary of Veterans Affairs for Memorial Affairs. Mr. Reeves oversees the design, construction, maintenance, and operation of national cemeteries. Matthew 5:4 reminds us of the importance of praying for comfort for those who grieve. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Randy Reeves as he works to honor the memory of military veterans. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Help support the prayer team by signing up for our matching challenge, now through July 4th. Details available at pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. An Alabama car dealership has a deal for deplorables. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
It turns out there's only one place to buy a pickup truck if you are a gun-toting, Bible-clinging, flag-waving American. Chatham Ford. The Alabama car dealership announced on Facebook that if you buy a new or used vehicle, you get a 12-gauge shotgun, an American flag, and a copy of the Holy Bible, King James Version. They say the promotional special is to celebrate our independence, God, guns, and freedom. Well, praise the Lord, wave the flag, and pass the ammo. To be fair, there have been a few negative Nancys angry about the gun and the good book, but the dealership has also been inundated with hundreds of congratulatory messages, mostly from folks in Make America Great Again country. One guy wanted to know if the dealership would be willing to throw in a Roll Tide bumper sticker. Turns out the general manager is a Mississippi State fan, so probably not. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hundreds of employees and other protesters at online retailer Wayfair are trying to hold the company accountable, staging a walkout to protest. The company selling $200,000 in bedroom furniture to migrant detention facilities.
Wayfair is refusing to back out of the contract, but announced it would donate $100,000 to the Red Cross. As for humanitarian aid, the easiest path would be for the House to pass the Senate bill. It's expected it would get huge Republican support and Democratic votes after that big bipartisan vote in the Senate today.
All right. So that's Mike Emanuel. Okay, first part, Wayfair, by the way, is one of the companies that actually has done something right. Their company, their employees were complaining about them selling beds to the border. Don't ask me why. Somehow they're probably helping Donald Trump by selling beds for the children. You know, I don't know why they don't say we're doing this for the children. Just ask the candidates that were on the stage last night. But Wayfair refused to buckle, and they said, no, we're selling those beds. So I just wanted to share with you that there are companies that are trying to resist this whole politically correct nonsense that's going on and forcing us to have one point of view, which is to hate Donald Trump, to love the left, to use the right words, to use the right speak. And, of course, in conjunction with that, we have these social media companies who are doing their part to control our speech and to try to control what we think. We've talked a lot about that this week. We've talked, in fact, we're not going to stop. James O'Keefe's video, his undercover video with that Google whistleblower, that and also the interviews, no, the hidden camera exposés of a couple of the employees talking about how they are actually, they are no longer neutral. They are making sure that you only see or that you see first the things they want you to see and that you don't see the things. It's not the way the search engine is supposed to work is that the thing that is on the internet the most trafficked, the most used, the most looked at, that's what appears the most when you enter a search. It's not supposed to say you enter a search and, oh, no, I want you to see this. And so in that regard, they have not, they're trying to make sure that you, for instance, I think the best illustration was one we've used a couple of times now, which is if you enter into the search engine at Google, a woman can, you get a woman, or a man can get pregnant. A man can have menstrual periods. I mean, that's what comes up. Now, do you think in all of the web world or the internet, that's really what's most common? That's what people are talking about. That's what people are writing about. That's the, like, in other words, the general consensus or the general vibe. No, I don't think so. And if you type in women can, you get women can, you know, I'm not sure the order of things. I'm just doing this from memory. Women can fight in combat. That's one. Women can do anything. Well, certainly women can do anything. That's probably, I would say in the universe of stories written with women can, that's probably going to be one of the top ones. But women can be in combat? I doubt that. So, and the person from Google who came out as a whistleblower was very clear that there is, they are on a march to make you think the right things, to force you to think the right things, and also then more blatantly, more graphically, to stop Donald Trump from winning the 2020 election. That's what they said, and that's what they're doing. To me, that's not, that's a huge consideration. It's very serious. It's not the largest one. The largest one is that they want to affect how you think, how your children think, and how your grandchildren think, and they are serious as death about it. And so I've been talking all week about sharing James's video. Many of you have said you tried to do it, and you got limited success. Facebook was limiting it, so you've just kept trying. And so just keep trying. In fact, we have a shorter video, which I didn't get to Adam yet this morning, but I will. It's a two-minute version of James's Project Veritas 25-minute video that we posted earlier in the week. It broke on Monday morning. So we'll put that two-minute version. Maybe, Adam, you can check online and get that and put that on our Facebook page. It'll be easier, and it will give people the gist of it without having to watch for 25 minutes. Okay, so this is some of your feedback here. Gerald says, Sandy, I listen to your program because I want true and accurate reporting. However, I'm very disappointed in you over this morning's program. Much of what you shared is just false. Google has not taken down everything about Hillary emails, and YouTube has not taken down everything about the Holocaust. I'm choosing Gerald's to just, many of you ask me similar things, so let me just explain. First of all, I didn't say that Google had taken everything down about Hillary Clinton's emails. If you don't understand search engines, then maybe you don't, Gerald, but let me see if I can explain this. The point is that if you enter Hillary Clinton email, what a neutral search engine is supposed to do is bring up the most populated, frequent stories with those two words in it. So as that search engine searches all of their data, the two most the most, what, 5-10 first that come up, stories that talk about that should come up. So when you enter Hillary Clinton email, I did it this morning. It comes up Hillary Clinton, her bio, candidate for president. It's as though the Hillary Clinton email scandal doesn't exist. Now, that doesn't mean you can't find it anywhere on Google. If you go down, you know, they'll have like the first choices, and then you go to page 2, then page 3. I don't know how far down, because I don't have the time to do that. Oh, eventually, I'm sure if you are more specific, you can find something about Hillary Clinton's email, but it won't come up first. And if you enter Donald Trump's email, which is not even a point of public discussion, it finds some really bad stories about that. So they're putting their hand on the scale. Do you understand? That's just one thing, but that's to try to explain now. So Gerald says YouTube has not taken down everything about the Holocaust. And here's the thing about that. So several of you asked me about that. I was very imprecise when I gave you that story, but I'll be more precise with you. Because this story, the information I had was so yesterday. It was from June, the first part of June. And here's, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's just that things move so fast. But here's the story that, as I understand it, I'll just give it to you without reading this. What happened was in the first part of June, YouTube decided to take down any videos out of their alleged motivation to stop hate. They started taking down what they proclaimed were neo-Nazi hate group videos about Nazism and Hitler. But what actually happened, I think maybe the best thing for me to do is to read it to you from a little bit from this article. Here's the title. The YouTube purge is now removing World War II educational videos, especially anything about the Holocaust. So what they did was, The Guardian first reported this. This is a separate report on this. Several British history teachers who have seen their video channels featuring archival films from World War II period deleted and attempts to upload new content blocked. Scott Alsop, a teacher at an international school in Romania, had his entire YouTube channel with hundreds of clips on European history from Norman conquest to the Cold War taken down. Many of the clips were originally featured in BBC documentaries that are no longer easily available, and original archival videos of speeches by Adolf Hitler, Joseph Goebbels, and other well-known Nazi officials. YouTube, which is owned by Google, sent Alsop an automated email saying his channel had been deleted because it included, quote, content that promotes hatred or violence against members of a protected group, end quote. There's more to this. There was another professor who had the same thing happen. He's not the only one. There are others. They just cited these two. Richard Jones Nierzik, a British teacher. He says, modern world study and Hitler in particular have dominated the history curriculum in the UK for over 25 years. Now he's been censured for uploading clips to his channel from old documentaries about the rise of Nazism. Some of his clips now carry warnings that users may find the material offensive, while others have been removed completely. He said he was appealing against YouTube's deletion of archived Nazi footage taken from mainstream media outlets, arguing that this was in itself a form of negationism or even Holocaust denial. And then there are many other history teachers who had the same experience. Now, these two particular teachers, as I understand it, have had their accounts, at least the first teacher has had his account restored. But that was the story of the first part of June. Now, here we are, June 27th. So at least the first history teacher had his restored. But that's what I was referring to. And I apologize that I was just trying to say so much in such a short time. But it's true, but it's not totally true that you cannot find any Holocaust videos. But they did start down the path of deleting them out of the guise of preventing hate speech. Do you see how dangerous this is? And do you see how close? And listen, I also know that these companies, these social media companies, have a strong, this is what I didn't say yesterday because I didn't have time. There are a lot of Muslim techies and a lot of them in power who would be happy to take down Holocaust videos. And so it's a mixed bag. I mean, I'm not saying that I know for a fact that's their motivation, but I'm telling you, We've seen it in other areas. This is the danger, and this is the power that YouTube, which is owned by Google, has over what you see. Okay, so the Holocaust videos, now you can see them for now, but you can see where this is going to go if they continue. They have certainly eliminated other things, as we know. All right, so I hope that answers your question. Let me just quickly add a few other things. Let's see if I can get to these. James says, I need to find a search engine that lines up with my biases. Since I know the truth already, I simply need it confirmed. James is always complaining that I am not a neutral person, that I have opinions, and he is upset that many of you listen to me for news. And because he used to listen to me in Chicago, and I talked about both sides of the issue. I never said I believed in both sides of the issue. I was quite clear then, even, where I stand on this. It's just I had more time, and I had a different kind of audience. And so I used to entertain both viewpoints and have debates and all of that. And I don't have that here, but that's okay. I think you get the other side from a lot of other sources. But James is very upset. He almost says this almost all the time about this. So, but James, what we need, honestly, I'm not neutral. I'm not a neutral platform. I have opinions. Yes, I do. I never deny that. And people that listen to me, that doesn't mean that I don't speak the truth, though. I think the assumption here, again, is that there is a truth. Oh, both sides are true. And you just have to listen to both sides and then, you know, put your finger up and see which way the wind is blowing and then decide. I actually think there is truth, James. I think, and I like to think that I'm representing truth. That's certainly my goal and my commitment. And what we need in a search engine is a neutral platform, a platform that when you search, it actually does come up with what are the most common stories or narratives about not trying to make you think a certain way. We don't need a big brother. We need a platform that just shows us what's available out there. And that's what Google used to be, and that's not what it is now. Okay, so, see. Sherry Troxel, Sherry, sorry, try not to get the last name. So this is on Facebook. I just typed in Trump is in both Google and DuckDuckGo. I was surprised the results weren't better in the DuckDuckGo app. Can you explain why? They were horrible. Yes, because Sherry, if you type in Trump is, actually, when people write about and speak about Trump, they say terrible things. Most people do. That's what the media is doing. And so the platforms are truly representing what's being said about Donald Trump. I don't think you'll see very many headlines that say Trump is terrific. I don't think you'll probably find that headline. So I think that that's an accurate representation that you're getting from like DuckDuckGo. If you, though, type in Hillary Clinton is, try that one. You'll find that I did do this. Look at DuckDuckGo. It says fill in the blank. Hillary Clinton is a criminal. Hillary Clinton, you know, all those are there. And for Google, it's very different. It shows all the wonderful things that she's done. Hillary Clinton is this. This is her bio. So you'll see it on that. I hope that makes sense to you. Remember, the search engine just should reflect what's actually the reality, what's being reported and written. So there were a couple of others I wanted to share before we take a break here and then go to the phone lines. So this is from Mark, and he says, I've been using DuckDuckGo for a long time. And this is interesting. He said, do you remember the story of Brendan Eich? He was the creator of Java and co-founder of Firefox. So he was in California, made a small contribution, about $1,000, to that pro-family amendment in California. And then there was outrage, and he had to resign from his position. And so he says that Brendan has started a new browser called Brave. And he said he's found it to be excellent. So Brave is another choice. He says it's very robust. So I just want to share that with you. I was just trying to give you an alternative. I've been using DuckDuckGo, but Brave sounds like a good choice too. Rich has asked me about global faith-based partnerships at Facebook, led by Nona Jones. And I would just like to say that Facebook has done a project in D.C. where they've hired conservatives like Senator John Kyle to sort of give a face of a normalcy and like, hey, we're here to hear your problems. But I don't trust them. I don't trust John Kyle. I don't trust Facebook.
The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. What is the proper role of government? Romans chapter 13 outlines government's function, and it is basically this: to restrain or to punish wickedness and to reward righteousness. Government was never intended to be our savior. Government is our servant. As we focus on our civil occupations and our civic engagement responsibilities, let us never forget that government is not our God. We don't put our trust in it. We put our trust in our Christ. As a result, what we want is a government that stays out of our way and leaves room for our church to do our business of fulfilling the Great Commission.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
On the next Focus on the Family, pediatrician Dr. Meg Meeker offers encouragement to moms for raising godly sons. Dr. Meeker addresses the natural conflict and distancing that occurs between a mother and son as he matures, and she admonishes moms not to be overprotective or to find their identity in their children. Next time on Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. John Oswalt, interim president of Wesley Biblical Seminary.
The writers of the Bible again and again talk of him as the living God, and when they do, they include this idea that the idols are dumb. They cannot speak, but our God speaks.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Special Prosecutor Bob Mueller has been subpoenaed against his will to testify in open session before Congress on July 17. This likely will be the longest day of his life. Democrats are scheduling the hearing, but Mueller's problem is that Republicans get to ask questions too. Mueller will be eviscerated by the likes of Jim Jordan, Doug Collins, and Louis Gohmert, who will want to know things like, when did you know the Steele dossier was a fraud, and why was it used four times after you knew it was bogus to get warrants to spy on the Trump campaign? Since DOJ regs prohibit reporting derogatory information on any subject who's not indicted, why did you publish hundreds of pages of stuff designed to make Trump look bad? Mueller will wind up falling into the pit he dug for the president. It's not going to be pretty.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, the New York Times published a heart-wrenching photograph of the prostrate corpses of a father and his small daughter drowned as they tried to enter this country illegally. The image recalled one of a little boy dead on a Turkish beach a few years back, which moved Europeans to admit millions of refugees at an enormous cost to the continent's taxpayers, social fabric, and security. Democrats, including many seeking their party's presidential nomination, not only sought to foster a similar response here, they actually tried shamelessly to portray this tragic event as President Trump's fault. The reality is very different. As long as his Democratic opponents thwart Mr. Trump's efforts to secure the border and preserve the financial sanctuary and other magnets attracting illegal migrants to this country, they own this crisis and must be held accountable for its terrible costs. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You know, let me just finish my thought on that last thing. I was trying to hurry so much. So what's happening is, just like I told you, I met with Google twice in D.C. with other conservative leaders. And what they were trying to do was pat us on the heads and tell us that, oh, no, we're not biased. We are, we're trying, you know, we have all the best intentions. Of course, they were lying. And we really knew that when they decided to disinvite Kay Cole James from their board of directors. Kay is the new president of Heritage Foundation. I think some of the Google, as I recall, I think it was the Google employees who called her a racist? Kay's black. She's black. I'm sorry. I just, but it's not funny. It's not funny. And so this is what these companies are doing. They are really, they love deception. I think Facebook is into the same business. And they did hire Senator John Kyle, who I love, and other people whose names you wouldn't know, who I respect, to sort of be the outreach to conservatives. And they sort of led us to believe that they would, you know, they were reasonable. They wanted to work with us. Now, John Kyle's not lying, and neither are my other friends involved with this, but I think Facebook is using them as a way to pat us on the head and pacify us. And I think probably Nona Jones, who's the leader of Global Faith-Based Partnerships at Facebook, is doing the same thing. I don't know her. I mean, I'm not saying she's not sincere and sincerely believes that they, you know, that this is a good faith effort. Listen, I was personally invited to go into Google, I don't know why, and spent time with them. And they wanted to know a lot of things about AFA and all of that, and then it got creepy. And so I don't trust them anymore, and I don't trust Facebook in either. So I'm just telling you. All right, so let me now go to the phones because you've been waiting patiently. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Yes, we can talk about the debate, and yes, we can talk about all kinds of things. Anything we've talked about this week is certainly in order. Let's go to Shirley in Arkansas. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Sandy. I was calling about James Dobson's Family Talk program on June 21st. It had Tim Clinton at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention 2019 in Anaheim.
Okay.
And he interviewed Nona Jones. She's the wife of Pastor Timothy Jones at Gainesville, Florida's Open Door Ministries.
Okay.
And she said she would, well, first they talked about her past of, you know, abusive childhood and everything, and then they got to that 2 years ago she was recruited by Facebook to build these faith-based communities online and help grow the digital church. And it's very confusing. And, you know, who's in power is makes a big difference. But I was wondering if she helped Franco Graham get his problem straightened out. And I was wondering if you are still experiencing shadow banning with Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, I think we are. I think there's no question we are. That lots of people, at least according to listeners, we are. Our reach has been limited. And I could read a lot of the, I don't have time to go back and read those comments, but people are saying, even with the James O'Keefe thing, and we're trying to share it, and someone just wrote in and said that we're still blocked. I have no idea, because you can't tell as the person who has the page, you can't tell what they're actually doing. Yes, I've experienced, and my friends have experienced, the ability to challenge something on Facebook and get something reversed like Franklin did, and that's good. But we know where they're going. We know where they're going, Shirley. And the ultimate goal is to shut us out. Right now, they're wooing us while shutting us down. Yes, it's confusing. It's confusing on purpose. But the ultimate goal, as Mark Zuckerberg, is not going to be, you know, Christian conservatives having a strong presence on Facebook and having a... They're restricted. They've shown themselves. We know who they are. We know what they're trying to do. And we know the people they've shut down. So I just don't trust them. And I would be concerned. If I had Nona's ear, I'd say, you know, this. I see this over and over again. I saw this happen to the National Association of Evangelicals years ago. When they started, they went adrift. I had a front row seat to that, where... there is a concerted effort by the left to co-opt Christians, and evangelical Christians especially are just naive, just really naive and unwilling, and always wanting to believe the best about people. That's why I think Jesus said we are sheep among wolves. We just really are. We are sheep among wolves. I know that's not a precise answer, Shirley, but I do not trust that initiative. That doesn't mean I don't trust Nona, but I suspect Nona's being used. That's what I suspect. But anyway, appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Let's go to James in North Carolina. Good morning, James.
Hey, how are you, Sandy?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, this when you start taking families and dividing them up and sending them back to Mexico like that, it's not going to be a winning situation. And I just can't believe that with all these minds involved in this, that there cannot be a reasonable answer. Like, let them stay here, call it amnesty if you want to, but they never can vote again. I've heard that talked about, and that they take sole responsibility for any offspring that they would happen to have, because it's just, I've got Mexican friends, you know, I'm a poor man, and I know poor people. And
what's a core man?
Well, I'm on SSI. I live from month to month. My water was cut off last month. I just got it cut back on by the grace.
What does that mean? What does that mean? So that's a core man?
I'm sorry.
I don't understand that.
Yes, ma'am.
Term.
And what I'm saying, the whole issue here is
No. James, answer my question. What, you said you're a core man. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
Well, my water was cut off last month.
What is that? But what is that?
Cut off.
I don't understand. So you're not just a. It sounds to me like I would describe you as someone who needs help financially, but a core man, I've never heard that before. But let me just say. But okay, so James, what makes you think, honestly, you think so then now, you think ICE is ripping families apart and sending people back to Mexico and taking the family? I don't understand. What are you talking about exactly? Because what I see is families.
I'm talking about the kids.
Well, of course.
I'm talking about the kids suffering. The moms looking in the
eyes. No. You're doing very broad. Do you understand what that separation? Do you understand the separation thing that they've been talking about? What's actually happening with that? I'm wondering if you are here. It sounds to me it's okay. For instance. The law says that children cannot be held, the parents, when they come across the border illegally, if we had enough space, they would be held in detention centers. We have no space, so they're all being released. So you don't really have much to worry about, James. They're all getting in. But let's just say that if it's working the way it's supposed to, in detention centers, the children cannot be held more than, I think it's 21 days. That's the law. So then they've moved the children then to children's facilities. That's where the separation came in place, because they can't stay in those facilities with adults. So it's the law passed by Congress that's caused that. But now they're all getting in. You really are worrying for nothing. And I have to say, James, for you as a core man, now what that's going to mean is you're not going to get as much. Do you think there's going to be enough money for you to have SSI? And all of the illegal immigrants coming across the border and their children who are now absorbing public services and public housing. Are you concerned about that?
To do it that where they cannot vote, Sandy. You see, if they can't vote.
But that's not all that matters, James. That's not the only issue, James. The issue is overloading health care and hospitals and draining the treasury, which is what you depend on for livelihood. You depend on the federal treasury.
I paid my taxes.
If you're getting SSI, if you are getting SSI and you're getting the kind of help you just talked about, you are depending on the federal treasury. And if you allow unlimited amounts of people to come in, there will be, listen, Social Security itself is going to run out.
Unlimited amounts of people. I didn't.
Yes, you did.
The ones that are here, they're already here. We need the labor. Well, why can't there be a compromise to where their power to vote is taken away from them and their offspring, must be self-sufficient?
But James, I think you don't quite maybe understand the volume of people coming across and the effect it's having on the United States and our children. Maybe you're not seeing that yet, but I think once your check is reduced or lost because the Social Security is bankrupt, which it's going to be. And I think they said something like 12 years, then you might kind of come to grips with what you're actually advocating. So I appreciate the discussion. You've got to tell me what a core man is, but I've got to let you go right now. All right. Thanks, James. Let's go to, let's go to Sandy in Texas. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning to you, Sandy. Great program.
Thank you.
I'm a Hispanic woman. My parents came here from Mexico back in the 40s. They came here legally. They had to go through a medical background check, a criminal background check. They had to make sure they had sponsors. My dad was a pre-law student at the University of Monterey, Mexico. My mother was a paralegal. They were educated. My parents wanted a better life for their children in the future. They did it the right way. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people, especially, oh, please let them in. They need to have, you know, this, that, and another. No, ma'am. I am so sick and tired of it.
You know, Sandy, I think you probably reflect probably how some of my family members, last name Rios, feel about this. Do you think that that's I know this is inexact, but do you think that's kind of prevalent feeling among American-born or American-now immigrants who've done this thing the right way? Do you think that's the feeling that most of them have, or do you think most of them are sympathetic to people who have same bloodstream?
No, absolutely. They feel the same way that I do. Absolutely. My mother, God rest her soul, she's passed on. She would tell me also, she would say, you know what, honey? She goes, I would be the first one to have the door open on the bus, because at that time there was a lot of illegals coming through as well back in the 80s. And she goes, honey, and you can drive the bus. She goes, because I do not feel sorry for them. Because what we went through, to come here and do it the right way, they can do it. And I'm really so livid about everybody just trying to give. Yeah. Have Americans go to Mexico illegally, and they will find out the reality that they will not get free medical.
Or property. I mean, yeah, really, honestly, I wish we had more time to flesh that out. Mexico's immigration laws are so strict and so stern, and America's are very good, if only they would be enforced. Sandy, thank you. I appreciate so much your insights. Very helpful. Let's go to Harlan, Texas. Harlan, in Texas. Good morning, Harlan. What's on your mind?
Hi, Sandy. You know, Senator Cruz did an excellent interview about that with that rep from Google. And he came down to conclusions. They donated millions to Clinton and zero to the other side. And the way that he did the interview was just excellent. Senator Cruz has just got a good mind. But the thing is, I guess that's my point.
Harlan, we put that whole thing on our Facebook page yesterday. So, yeah, we covered it yesterday. He did a fabulous job with that representative from Google. And I think there are going to be more hearings now on Google as a result of, well, in part, as a result of James's expose, which came out on Monday. And if any of you have not seen it, please go to our Facebook page. You'll want to know, and we're encouraging you to leave Google as your search engine. And if you can get away from Gmail, which I'm going to have to wean myself, I can't do it suddenly, but I'm looking at Proton Mail. Others of you have made other suggestions. And so I just can't say enough about the importance of that. Thank you so much, Harlan. One thing I did not include today on immigration, it's just important, is that Nancy Pelosi claimed, of course, that she was responsible for stopping that ICE raid. We know now that the acting director of Homeland Security, McElhaney, actually leaked that himself. It's just disgusting. I think it's disgusting. So Nancy Pelosi oversaw the writing of a horrible bill in the House. The Senate has now considering a better bill. I think they may have passed it yesterday. Actually, I'm not sure. And so now it's going to compromise. Now they're going on vacation tomorrow. So, you know, they're really concerned about a good bill, aren't they? So the House and the Senate are, you know, cooking up whatever they're cooking up. But none of it really goes for the real reasons, the real things we need to be doing, which is changing the asylum claims so that people stop having an incentive to come here and claim asylum falsely. And we need to send people back to where they came from and not interject them into the public, into our country immediately without even being checked. Some are being walked through security at airports. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.